Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Lindsay from Nerdy Book Nurse on Instagram. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm so happy to talk to you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Obviously, as you said, my name is Lindsay. In addition to being an avid book lover, romance reader, I'm also a nurse. Mm-hmm. So I work in the neonatal ICU in a hospital in Boston, taking care of little babies that are either premature or full term and are a little sick. So that's what I do in most of my time. I live in Massachusetts. I have a golden retriever, Bentley, who's six, who's often on my page. And in all of my spare time, I basically am either reading or listening to books.
I love it. So you're an audiobook listener along with a book reader, correct?
Oh, yes. I probably do 75% of my books that I read are probably audio.
Oh, that's really awesome. So we're going to talk about
audio.
So who are your favorite narrators or who do you go to?
For girls, I really like Erin Mallon. She's probably like my top female narrator. I really like her. Males, my favorite male narrator is definitely Jacob Morgan. Mm-hmm. And second is probably Sebastian York. And I always feel like I should preface my audiobooks with, I listen to them sped up and I feel like the voices definitely sound different when they are fast versus slow. So I always listen at usually around 2 times the speed. Okay. And so those are my favorite narrators at those speeds.
I love it. Yeah, I love the speed. I think for me with audiobooks, I had to work my way to the speed of 2.
Yeah.
2 times. Like, you know, I'll start at 150 and then I'll just move to like 175 and, you know, move a little bit until I get to 2. And I'm like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I have to slow down sometimes too before I'm like into the story, before I know all the characters, and then I can work my way up a little bit faster after that.
Yeah.
From the same way.
That's so true. So you mentioned you're reading romance. So when did you start reading romance?
I feel like I started, at least what I can remember. I always have been a reader, but I feel like romance in particularly, I think when I was in high school, I had read like a couple different ones, and then 50 Shades became like super mainstream. So I read all of those when those were all mainstream, and then I bridged into from that. I feel like I read the full Crossfire series from Sylvia Day after that. Then I read On the Island by Tracy Jarvis Graves, and then it kind of just spiraled from there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I read On the Island when I started reading romance a few years ago. I was reading the Crossfire series and I feel like I just read this book already.
Yeah, it literally is like the same. It's like the same.
Yeah, it's like the same 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't, I don't think Crossfire has BDSM, but other than that, it's pretty much like,
A rich billionaire, kind of an element of control.
Yeah.
Kind of insta-lovey. Yeah, it, for sure. It definitely reminded me as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting series. I was like, if you like 50 Shades of Grey, then you should read Crossfire.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's probably how I found them.
Yeah. So, so many good romance there. So, what do you love about the genre?
I think for me, I think I found those books also at a time when I was in, like, not a great relationship. Mm-hmm. And they kind of served like a duality, like in one perspective, like in my opinion, the definition of romance is like it has to have a happily ever after or happily for now kind of at the end of it. So they always end on a positive note versus like I also kind of grew up reading like Nicholas Sparks books and those ones just like shatter your world by the end of it. And you're like, yeah. This is not really what I was hoping to get into for a romance novel. So for me, romance, it has to end with a happily ever after. So I think what I love is I know that even when I come upon conflict in the book, like it's going to be okay. So it doesn't give me the same stress and anxiety that other novels do when I'm like not quite sure. Like that for me is like usually always a constant. And two, I think when I was in not a great relationship, it was kind of an escape, but I kind of feel like I also used them as like a wake up call of like, now I'm fully aware, like I'm not delusional. Like I do realize that romance novels are not life, but I think they did kind of help me realize that like the situation I was in was like maybe not the best after seeing like so many other different examples of like better relationships with more communication, with healthier dynamics. And I think they actually did kind of help me realize that like I wasn't in such a great situation myself.
Yeah, I think romance can give you an overview of like what it means to be in a toxic relationship, what it means not to be in a toxic relationship, what it means to be in a good relationship but it's actually healthy. You know, we're
100%
when there's communication, you know, all those different factors that are around it. So it does give you that. And there's so much feminism within romance that it just like gives you fight the patriarchy.
Absolutely. So no, I totally feel the same way.
Yeah, it's like it's a genre. Like, you know, people give a lot of they talk a lot of smack about it, but the reality is like if you read romance, like you probably are gonna be well versed
on topics
and healthy relationships and you know
100%.
Yeah. So yeah, I gotta say I love romance. So it is So now let's talk about romance tropes. What are some of your favorite romance tropes?
Okay. My absolute hands down favorite is definitely enemies to lovers. I love it so much. It has to be done the right way because I've read some where like the best is when they like really hate each other, but they have to be redeemable, right? They can't be like so awful to each other that then you can't believe that they're like then falling in love. Like it has to be written smart. But when it's done right, that like tension and that hatred and watching the characters realize that like hatred is really like masked as like attraction masked is, and then watching that kind of like explode when it finally does, especially if you have an author that like builds that tension steadily throughout like a good portion of the book where you just like are ready to like throw the book across the room waiting for it to explode, to me, in my opinion, is like the best. Mm-hmm. That's my hands down favorite. I also do like friends to lovers, you know, when they finally like cross that boundary and realize that like they've been good friends for a really long time but now they want it to be something more. And there is something for me about second chance. I mean, I realize that relationships like break up for a reason. And a lot of people are usually like, well, if it didn't work out the first time, it's not going to work out the second time. But I'm a big believer in like people change. Like we're not defined by like one singular like moment in time in our lives. We're always changing and evolving. And just because the two people that you were at one point in your life, like maybe weren't compatible, doesn't mean that at a different point in your life with more or less experiences and maturity, like it might not work out. And so I feel like I always like root for those relationships where there's that like history. I always root for those people to kind of like find their way back together again.
Yeah, I love second chance romance. I think for me to work, there shouldn't be like a blatant reason why they should be broken up. Like the relationship should be together. And then the other part is, you know, I appreciate some of them that are high school lovers.
Yeah.
And then, like, a few years later, they're like, we come back together. That's cute. And I've seen it, like, my parents are second chance romance. But the reality is that I hate the high school time because I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. It's so angsty. It's so like,
I know.
I love you. You're the best thing ever happened to me. And you're like, no.
I know. You're so right. Like, it is so true.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. So do you have any recommendations for enemies to lovers?
Yeah. That is probably the one I'm most well-versed in because I feel like I seek those books out the most often. So my favorite book, hands down, Enemies to Lovers, is definitely The Simple Wild by K.A. Tucker. I've read it 3 times this past year. I'm just obsessed with it. I feel like the tension in that one is built so well, and then it evolves in like such a way that pays off. It's such an emotional novel overall, but that one I love. A couple months ago, I read Arrogant Devil by R.S. Gray, and that one was kind of like a city girl comes to the country and is working on a ranch, and her and the guy who's the head of the ranch can't stand each other. And she was just so spunky and just like didn't put up with any of his crap. And I just loved it so much. Helena Hunting writes some of my favorite romance novels of all time. And most recently, I just read her new one, A Favor for a Favor, which was great because she always writes the banter for the enemies to lovers super, super well. And I'm always just like hysterically cracking up, but then it always pays off when they finally get together. And I feel like Well Met by Jen DeLuca this year it so surprised me. I went into it with really no expectations, but I really ended up loving it so, so much.
I love it. Yeah, I have to admit, I love A Favor for a Favor. I love banter. I love the fact that it's so fun. And at the same time, it was like close proximity. Like, they lived in the same building. So, the whole dance I had around in the morning, she's like, I'm going to pick up my newspaper at the same time that she's going out. Like,
those scenes were so great.
Yeah.
Do you like enemies to lovers? Is that one of your favorite tropes?
I do. I do like enemies to lovers more than friends to lovers. I think enemies to lovers hands down has to, like, for me, works. I think of the things that I like about enemies to lovers, if it's in a series, it should be book 3 or book 4. So we have like a couple books when they're bickering, when they don't like each other, and you're like, oh, they're going to get a book.
You know?
Yep. You're rooting for that. Totally. You're like, this has been building up for books on it.
Yeah.
So those are like by far my favorite enemies to lovers. It's like when it's book 3 and you're just like, oh my gosh, you're having an enemies to lovers moment. This is happening.
Yeah.
So.
Have you read the Tessa Bailey Hot and Hammered series?
I have. I DNF'd the second book. I may pick it up again. Is the third book going to be Enemies to Lovers?
Yes, it is. So that's it. It's going to be Bethany. And I don't remember if we meet Wes in the first book or if he's introduced in the second one. But they definitely spar in the second one.
Isn't he the newcomer, the one who started working at the construction site?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But they spar all in book 2. So I'm excited to see them in book 3.
Gosh. Yeah. So maybe that would be a fun book to read. Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, book 2 was like, I read like 40%. And then I just put it down like a month ago. And I was like, maybe I'll pick it up. Maybe I won't pick it up. So how about Second Chance Romance? Do you have any recommendations for those?
The Lemon Sisters by Jill Shelvis, I read over the summer and I just loved it. I felt like they were together when they were young and they went through like a traumatic event together, which then the way that they both dealt with that was just too different. And that kind of like ripped them apart, the way that they kind of processed that trauma. But then they kind of reunite like 10 years later under circumstances outside of their control, and they still have to kind of like break through a lot of the same like communicative barriers that kind of ripped them apart the first time. But I just like really loved it, and I thought it was well done. Mm-hmm. And then The Good Luck Charm by Hoanne Hunting is also a second chance. But that one was like a little bit more, I mean, I loved it, but it was a little bit more in like the high school trope, like kind of things don't work out when you're young, getting back together, and you still have to kind of work through all of that drama. That one for me wasn't quite as like emotionally invested as The Lemon Sisters by Jill Shalvis. That one I felt like really like moved me so much more. But those are probably like the top two second chance that I've read as of recent.
Yeah, I agree with The Lemon Sisters. I felt like that was so emotional, the whole process.
Yeah.
I was rooting for them to get back together, but I knew they had to work on things. And it was just like they had things in the past they needed to work on, and there's like all this trauma they just needed to get through. So you were rooting for them. Yeah. Yeah, I was disappointed. 100%. I read Jill Shalvis, it's in the same series, but it's like completely standalone book, the next book in the series. And I was like, whoa, no cameos. So there's no cameos from The Lemon Sisters in the next book, Almost Best Friends. Those books are completely standalone. So, which is
kind of because I have that. I haven't read it yet, but I have it to read. Yeah, I know it just came out yesterday.
It's really good, but it's like, I was hoping The Lemon Sisters would like, let's see too. You know, you get cameos. I don't know. Like, they'll live in the same town. Like, you'll get a cameo here,
right?
A cameo there, but there's no cameo. So, please stand alone. So, but they're really good. They're both are really good books.
So. All right. Well, that's good.
Awesome. So, let's see. How about your favorite, least favorite romance trope?
I don't even know if these are like tropes, but these are like my biggest pet peeves in romance. I don't really love insta-love. Like, I do not really, like, I do get like lust at first sight, but I do not get these like relationships that develop in like 0.5 seconds. And it's like, I love you and we will be together forever. Mm-hmm. Like I am okay with like, if it's just chemistry and they like, just like hook up like right away or something, or if a situation like that, but I don't really love the insta love. And then my absolute biggest pet peeve, and if I'm reading a romance and it does this and it was 5 stars before this, I will take a star off because I just cannot stand it. I hate when books spend a long time, you've developed two characters, you've developed their relationship, they have a way that they communicate, and then because I understand that books have to have conflict, I get that the characters have to have some kind of conflict to work through in order to, you know, kind of drive the plot and get out on the other side. But I hate when something that is like so uncharacteristic for these two characters comes between them, and just because of a lack of communication, it like blows everything up out of proportion. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand it. Miscommunications over stupid things are like my biggest pet peeve. I hate them. And I really just feel like, well, one, they're kind of overdone because I feel like books for the longest time have used that, like characters just like refuse to tell each other how they feel. And that's like the central conflict, which has been done a lot. But two, I feel like books and shows that don't do that, like a good example that comes to mind is like This Is Us. Like This Is Us doesn't have any like crazy wild plot things for the most part. Like that show is derived on like real life things that happen to characters and like the tension and drama that stems from that without having to be like over the top. And I think that's why so many people identify with it. And I just feel like I love when books actually just have characters like communicate through things, and there's like an external something that they have to deal with in life that like can serve as conflict, if that makes sense, and not them just refusing to admit that they have feelings for each other.
Yeah, I have to say I hate the miscommunication trope, or the communication, like we just like a conflict or a little thing or something like that. Like for me, their books when the characters are talking about communication, I'm talking about boundaries, talking about consent, talking about you know, yes. what it feels like to be in a relationship with that person. That feels sexy. That feels good.
Yeah.
No, that feels like
100%.
You know, as opposed to communication, like, I don't like you, or, you know, I saw you talking to some random guy, and then, like, obviously I'm going to break up with you because I have, like, complete miscommunication around it. It's like, no, please don't.
It's so not realistic. Like, you wouldn't invest all this time with somebody and then just, like, blow up your life over, like, a stupid thing like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least I don't think you would.
Yeah, it's really annoying. Or it just basically shows you your insecurity. It's not even about the other person. It's about your own insecurity.
Right.
It's like, okay, like your low self-esteem, or you have, you're insecure.
Exactly.
Blowing up on something, or, you know, control issues. And like that. So those are,
yeah.
those are red flags. I was like, this is not healthy behavior. Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like I just read a book recently, and I won't name it. It's not out yet. I was reading an advanced copy, and the whole like first 100 pages, these characters were kind of long distance, like communicating, and they really like built this solid foundation on trust. They really like, they talked about like how well they were communicating and how little things like weren't bothering them. And then literally they had like the smallest blip of a miscommunication. It was like a joke that wasn't taken well. It was the smallest blip of a miscommunication. And they like effectively just like ended things right there. And I put it down. I was like, I don't understand how you spend like 120 pages building trust and then it all gets like ripped apart over a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man,
it's so frustrating.
Okay, we just want fun communication. We got talks about consent, talks about boundaries, talked about all the good things about being in a relationship, or what it means to be in a relationship. We want those things.
Exactly.
So Lindsay, you love contemporary romance. So what are some of your favorite books?
I do. Oh, let's see. I've talked about a lot of them. I feel like I loved The Simple Wild by K.A. Tucker. I loved The Friend Zone by Abby Jimenez. I just read her new one that comes out in April, the Happy Ever After playlist. And I loved that. The banter in that is so great. I love pretty much anything that Helena Hunting writes. I've read her entire Puck series, her entire Shacking Up series. I loved all of those. I've read the first two books of her new All In series, which I have just like adored. I feel like those three are probably my top three authors that I feel like whenever I read any of their books, I know it's going to be most likely a 5-star read for me because they just do banter and tension and theme and everything just like perfectly.
I agree. For me. Those are so great reflections. So what is your most anticipated new release for 2020?
That for me, the people who listen to this are going to be like, can she please stop talking about The Simple Wild? So there is a sequel to The Simple Wild, which follows Calla and Jonah, called Wild at Heart by K.A. Tucker. And that comes out in March. And I literally would chop off a limb to read that book right now. I am dying for it. I will probably read it in about 3 or 4 hours when it comes out. And I am just cannot wait for it. I'm so excited.
I know. I'm very excited for it too. But not as excited as you are.
I'm like, people are going to be like, can she stop with this one book?
I know. It's a really good book. It's a really good book.
It is.
So it is good.
I'm glad you think so.
So which books did you read this past month that you recommend?
I read Undercover Bromance, which was the sequel to Bromance Book Club by Alyssa K. Adams. And I just love this series so much. She takes on toxic masculinity in a way that I think is just, it's really like nice to see that represented in novels and watching male characters like not succumb to that and do things in a different way. So the second book, Undercover Bromance, kind of tackles sexual harassment in the workplace and a little bit of an enemies to lovers vibe there, a little bit of romantic suspense. And I thought that one was really well done. I talked about Helena Hunting, but I read her second book, A Favor for a Favor. And that was, again, Enemies to Lovers, which I just loved with close proximity, which was great. And then not, you know, necessarily a romance, but I read a backlist, Kristen Hanna, Firefly Lane. And that one follows two best friends over the course of like four decades, their friendship. And I just was sobbing by the end. It was so good. It's so relatable. I mean, Kristen Hanna does that to me every single time, but it was, I was just blown away by it. It was phenomenal.
Did you sob? Did you cry at the end of Kristen Hanna's book? Or
I did. And I do not cry normally at all when I read. I'm not normally I cry at movies and TV, but I don't cry. When I read, and I'm like, I have tears streaming down my face now. Like, what the heck? Yeah, what about you?
That was my experience with Kristen Hanna. She just makes me cry. And I'm like, I'm invested in the book. Like, you get invested in it. And then you're just like bawling at the end. And you're like, what is going on? No.
She's one of those writers where I feel like your heart always like hurts at the end of her books. It doesn't matter which one it is. Your heart is always just like, oh
yeah.
God, why?
Yeah.
What about you? Are you reading anything good right now?
Yeah. So I read Chasing Cassandra by Lisa Kleypas. So if you not read Lisa Kleypas, you should try it. She's amazing.
I haven't, and it is like the worst like sin against romance. I haven't read a single Lisa Kleypas. Oh, can you believe that?
I can't, you know, I can believe it. I can believe it because I only started reading her since August. So I'm a late bloomer, so you're fine. You can take your time with it. But if you decide to read Lisa Kleypas, I would say Dreaming of You is a book that you should start with. It was published in the 90s, so it's like, it's an older book, but it has a great hero. He's like grumpy. Okay. He owns a casino. The heroine kills a man because she was saving him from getting attacked because a former mistress was like, I wanted to get him like become ugly. I don't know. The book was so good. So Dream of You is the one that you should start if you want to read Lisa Kleypas. And then you can move on to the rest of her world. So Chasing Cassandra's book 6 of the Ravenel series. Should be read in order. It's like there's a whole family and there's like all these different characters that make mingle and whatnot. But I would say Chasing Cassandra had the grumpy hero who's like, I don't want to fall in love, but then he was like, I love you. Self-made man, so not a title man. He built train stations and train tracks and all the different things around trains. And then Cassandra wants to be in society. And then something happened that just basically tarnished her reputation. It's interesting to see modern themes within the historical setting. And that's what I like about it. It's like you see the modern themes of Me Too era within the historical setting, you're like, oh, okay. So that was really good.
Okay. All right, that sounds good.
So I just read Never Kiss a Geek by Megan Frankton.
Okay.
It's like my first book by her. And the reason why I pick it up is because I saw on Twitter that she got a complaint saying, your books are too steamy or something along those lines. And I was like, one click for that.
Absolutely.
So anytime a person complains that your book is too steamy, I'm like, I want that book.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm
the same way.
So it did not disappoint. There's multiple sex scenes, which is amazing.
Necessary.
And then this relationship is the heroine owns a gambling hall, casino.
Okay.
And then the hero loses his title. He was supposed to be a duke, but then he realizes he's a bastard. So he has to start working. So he works for the heroine. So think about it.
Okay.
In a normal setting, like, it's not normal to have a lazy boss. And then she's like, the whole office relationship, you know, she's like, I'm his employer, but I really like him. You know, this tug and pull. And she's like, I don't want to get married. You know, I lose my business. I lose everything. I lose my identity.
Right.
So there's conversations that are modern conversations. stage about marriage, you know, struggle setting.
Exactly.
So it was really good. So
all right.
And to continue the badass feminism within historical romance, I read Maya Rudolph's and Harris to Remember. And
okay,
if you want to start historical romance and you want something that just feels like modern time, I would say Maya Rudolph's series is the one to go. First of all, it's set in New York City, so it's not London. So it's set in New York City, 1890s to 1995. So it's like, later on in life. So it's like somewhat modern time. And so she takes historical figures, like female figures, and then adapts them to her story. So each story is based on lady business. So the first one is a dressmaker who adds pockets to the dresses. The second one is about face cream and cosmetics, because I did not realize, like, that time, women in the higher, you know, high society did not wear makeup because they felt that that was loose women who could wear makeup. So she was like, so this whole process, how they introduced makeup to high society and whatnot, is in that book. And then the third book, which I just read, it's about department stores. So there's a few things about department stores you didn't think about it. Department stores didn't have ladies' restrooms because they didn't want the women to be spending time shopping around. So they didn't have restrooms for them. So they're the whole idea of delivery, the whole idea, like the different innovations that you take for granted now are introduced in that era. So it's a really cool book to see, like, all these different lady figures, you know, making an impact and being feminist and being badass. So it's by far, like, one of my favorite series of all time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's really good. I was happily surprised when I started reading historical. I'll be honest, if you're not a historical reader, if you had the idea that it's not feminist, it's not that women are docile and they're like, they only worry about marriage. Like, the reality is, historical romance is not like that at all. There's plenty of books where women have jobs, where women are doing things, where women are making an impact in the other people's life. And that's like what I love about it. So it just like, it definitely fights patriarchy. It just brings a different set of things that you wouldn't think it's possible. And at the same time, it's kind of cool to see historical events. You're like, I did not realize, I didn't learn this in school. And you realize, something new that I'm learning. So that's my PSA for historical romance.
No, well, I love it because, you know, I really don't read much historical romance. And I've tried a couple times and I think maybe I just haven't picked the right book for me to like go in with. So these are all great.
Yeah, I would say Maya Rudolph is by far my favorite one.
Okay.
If you want to start over, and then if you want Lisa Kleypas, there's plenty of ways to start. Her worlds are built together. So if you find a series that you like, you start reading, you may be surprised that she may have written a book like 5 years ago where some of the characters are mentioned. Yeah, so it's kind of cool.
Okay.
So she's been writing this for like 20-something years. It's like there's plenty of backlist there for her.
Oh, well, that's awesome because I love that.
Yeah. So, all right, let's see. What books are your TBR?
My TBR probably has 700 books on it right now. I have so many backlists that I still want to pick up and read. I mean, backlist off the top of my head, I still haven't read The Idea of You. Which I've heard so much about. So I definitely need to still read that. And I haven't read Helena Hunting's Clipped Wings series yet. So that's the only series I have left on her backlist to read that I want to read. And then as far as things that are coming out, I just got an advanced copy of Not That Kind of Guy by Andy J. Christopher. And I did really like her first one, Not the Guy You Marry. I know the comparisons to How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days were rampant, but I liked it. So I'm excited to read the next one. I just got a copy of Alicia Ray's new one, Girl Gone Viral, which is out this spring. The follow-up to The Right Swipe, which I'm excited about. I obviously loved Jen DeLuca's Well Met so much, and that's going to be a 3-book series. So I'm really looking forward to Well Played, which is going to be book number 2. Mia Sosa has a new one coming out, Worst Best Man. Helena Hunting is releasing 2 more this year that I know of, at least right now. And like I said, I will read absolutely anything she writes. So she's got the 3rd book in the All In series coming out, A Secret for a Secret. And that's going to follow hockey player Kingston, which I'm super excited about from what we saw of him in the other books. And she's got a standalone with Forever Publishing coming out called Kiss My Cupcake. And that one is going to be an Enemies to Lovers, which obviously you've got my favorite author and my favorite trope. So I'm all about that. And then Christina Lauren's new one that comes out in March, Honey, Don't List. I'm excited for that, too.
I love it.
And those are kind of...
Yeah, I love The Worst Best Man. So I read that last year, and I have to admit, it was by far one of my favorite romans. It's Enemies to Lovers,
okay,
which you may like.
Okay.
It's Own Voices. The main character is Brazilian, and the Brazilian culture is throughout the book. So it's really cool to see.
Okay.
Her family, the language, the food, capoeira. Yep. All you think about Brazil, like, you get to experience that in the book. So it's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I love that when books do that and just, like, completely transport you into the world.
Yeah.
It when it's not trying, it's just authentic.
It's authentic. It feels like the culture feels like you feel within the culture. Like, she's proud of being Brazilian, and she reflects that in her work. And that feels really authentic and feels really good. And I think as someone who's looking for more diverse reads, like, this is a book that allows you to see that in a
good way.
So, yeah.
I'm super excited to read it. I have my copy. I just have to, you know, pick it up and finally get to it. And then amongst the 4 other books that I'm like, the problem is I want to read everything, and I just, there's not enough hours in the day.
I know.
What about you? Do you have anything that you're kind of highly anticipating or that's been on your list for a while?
No, I have 2 Undercover Romance. That's one of the books that I'm going to be reading soon.
Based on the reviews,
I know I'm gonna love it. I love the first book, Romance Book Club. So I'm thinking,
and I think I even liked this one better. Ooh. I think this one's even better.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So maybe that will be my next read. I have To Have and To Hoax, which is a historical romance rom com about married couples. So I think that will be fun. It's like, I think the setup is the wife tells the husband that she's sick. But she's not sick. The husband figures that out, and then they just go into this like battle of the wills. So it looks cute. So I think I want to read that next. And then
that sounds awesome.
I have like quite a few arcs that I just need to get through. But what the reality is that I want to read Lisa Tapa's Hathaway series, which is like one of the few series that I've read. Some of the characters have been mentioned in that previous series, so I'm familiar with it, but have not read it, and I own all 5 books. I think it's 5 books in the series, so maybe I'll try to read those. So,
that all sounds like perfect choices. I don't think you can go wrong.
I know. I was like, I need time to read. That's my thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing.
It's too much. There's too many options, and I'm like, I need a book to read. I need a book to read. I know a book I can read. It's just I need the time to, so maybe, and there's life opportunities I just don't allow. I'm like, I need a work that allows me to read or to do something.
I know.
To do that. Yeah.
Can we just get a job reading? Because that would be great.
I know. So
the paid book reviewer, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, I just want to read review books or just talk about books,
Exactly.
Anyway. So yeah. All right, let's see. Where can we find you online?
On Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, my handle is at nerdybooknurse, and I also have my own blog at nerdybooknurse.com, and I am on Goodreads at nerdybooknurse.
Thank you, Lindsay, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
I really love your recommendations. So thank you for being on the show. So if you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a little review on iTunes. This will help support the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.